As they're leaving, if you would, turn to 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4. We're going to continue today in our follow series. We're looking at the marks of authentic faith or authentic followers of Jesus. And so there's six of them. But first, I want to tell you a story to help you understand what we're doing. So I don't want you to be confused, okay? In 2004, at the Olympics, Matt Emmons was one trigger pull away from winning his second gold medal. This is a picture of Matt. Now that he's been to several Olympics and gotten several gold medals, he was in the lead position in 2004. He was in the lead position in the 50-meter three-position rifle competition. He was so far ahead of everyone else that really all he had to do with his last shot was to hit somewhere on the target. He calmly and with great precision fired his rifle, and the bullet pierced right through yet another bullseye. And when he did that, he looked up at the scoreboard and he saw nothing. There was no change to the scoreboard, but what he did see was three men in red jackets running towards him. And he figured they were running towards him to tell him that the scoreboard was broken. But what they were coming to tell him was that he had hit the wrong target. He was standing in lane two, and he hit the target in lane three. He was awarded 0 points. He finished eighth, no medal. It's possible, before you get real discouraged for Matt, he did go on to win other medals, and he actually met his wife, I heard, at the competition, because it was a lady that felt sorry for him because of what he did. So that's really good. So the Lord had a plan, but let's get back to my point. So it is possible in a church to hit the wrong target. In other words, most churches can fall into this this habit, into this thinking that there's only two ways of measuring success at a church. One way is with numbers, attendance. The other way is numbers as well, with giving, right? Or as some pastors call it, counting nickels and noses. Okay? Counting the nickels and noses. And if there's enough nickels and if there's enough noses, then we've hit the target. We've hit the bullseye. We hit what we're aiming for. And you know, the Bible isn't completely uninterested in numbers. You know, you read about in Acts chapter 2, Peter preaches his first sermon. It says 3,000 people were saved. That's amazing. 3,000 people. Man, that's something to get excited about. But if you look throughout the New Testament at what Jesus says we should be aiming for when it comes to what kind of disciple we're supposed to be, you see that he's more interested in quality than quantity. You know what I mean? Like, he's more interested in about who we are than how many we are. You know what I'm saying? And so I want you to see this quote by Robert Lewis, a pastor that I respect very much. He says, "The true measure of a church is not how many, but how loving. Not how relevant, but how real." So we have to ask the question, what is the ministry bullseye that we're aiming at Rileyville Baptist Church? What's the ministry bullseye? So that when we hit it, we can say, yep, we did it, or God did it, right? Or we can know where we're firing. And so that's what this series called Follow is all about. And it's an acrostic. And so you guys remember, you can go to the next slide. You guys remember last week, it was the F is falling on my knees in prayer regularly, right? And today we're going to take the first O, which is offering my time and treasure generously. Okay? That's what today is. Offering our time and treasure generously. So if you have your Bible, it's not so important what I have to say, more important what God has to say. Let's look at 1 Peter chapter 4, starting in verse 7. This is what God's word says. The end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be self-controlled and sober-minded for the sake of your prayers. Remember, we talked about that last week. Above all, keep loving one another earnestly. Since love covers a multitude of sins. Show hospitality to one another without grumbling. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Whoever speaks as one who speaks oracles of God. Whoever serves as one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To Him belongs glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, as we open your word, we have read it, and we want to praise you for it. We thank you for speaking to us, for not leaving us to ourselves. Lord, you know we have sought diligently at this church to know what the target is that we should be aiming at in terms of what kind of disciple do you want us to produce here. And Lord, I ask that you would give me clarity of mind, clarity of speech as I communicate this to these dear friends, these dear partners in gospel ministry. Lord, there are many that are sick today. There are many that are hurting. They're not able to be here with us. I think of Marianne Stettler. I lift her up to you right now, Lord. And I just ask that you would put your hands of care on her, Lord. That you would comfort Roy. Lord, for so many others, Lord, that too many to name that are sick. And I just ask, Lord, for healing. Lord, I ask for peace. I ask for hope. And so now, Lord, as we have come to you in prayer, we are trusting you. We are asking you to move in our hearts and to take us from where we are right now to where you want us to be. In Christ's name, amen. All right, so we're talking about offering our time and treasure generously. What we're saying is, for a disciple, a follower of Jesus, a follower of Jesus should look for opportunities to use their time, which includes themselves, their abilities, their talents, and their treasure, their possessions, generously. To be generous, you've talked about this already in Sunday school if you were there, if you were in a class. To be generous is to give freely, to give abundantly, joyfully, even when it hurts. When we think of generosity, we automatically think of money, don't we? It's just automatic generosity, money, money. But God wants us to be generous with far more than our money. Look at what it says in verse 10 with me. If you have your Bible, look down just for a moment. Verse 10, Peter says, and this is where I want to focus today, as each has received a gift, use it to serve one another. Do you see those words, use it? I'm going to read that again, and I want you to say use it, okay? And just help us really get this here. As each has received a gift, use it. Let's try it again. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another. Use it. Peter is not talking about Christmas gifts, right? What is he talking about? He's talking about the talents and the abilities that we have. And what he's saying is, you have talents, you have abilities, and those things have been given to you, not for you, but to be used for others and to be used for God's kingdom purposes. You got to use it. Here's the main point. The key to generosity, And I could say this is a key. There could be many other keys, but the key to generosity is understanding that God owns everything and that I am his steward. You say, Dan, where did you get that from? The rest of the verse. Verse 10, as each of you has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. What is a steward? Well, I know what a steward is. You get on an airline, and that's the person that gives you peanuts. They give you a meal. That's a steward. No, that's a stewardess, right? A steward is a manager, right? That's what a steward is. It's a manager. It's someone that manages the assets of another person. Tom was quoting from Randy Alcorn in The Treasure Principle. I'll tell you what he says about a steward. A steward manages assets for the owner's benefit. He carries no sense of entitlement to the assets that he manages. It's his job to find out what the owner wants done with his assets and then carry out his will. Do you see? No sense of entitlement. It's not his. He just manages it. He's a steward. You know, in your life, you're going to live with one or two mindsets. And we constantly wrestle back and forth between these two, I think. One is the mindset of an owner. And one is the mindset of a steward. The owner says, I am a self-made man. I am a self-made woman. I have worked hard for what I have. It is mine to give or to keep. The steward says, I possess many things, but I own absolutely nothing. Everything that I am, everything that I have, is from God. It belongs to God. He is the owner. My job is to use, listen to this, his resources in his way to accomplish his purpose. That's what a steward does. Uses God's resources in God's way to accomplish God's purpose. When we have a steward's mentality about ourselves, about our abilities and talents and even our treasure, it changes the way we do things. We don't think, what is this going to cost me? If I do this, this is going to cost me something. I gotta figure that out. What is it going to cost me? A steward says, well, it wasn't mine to begin with. It doesn't really cost me anything. It's not mine. I was thinking about our message last week. Last week was Sanctity of Human Life Sunday. And we said all life is sacred. And why is all life sacred? Because we're all created in God's image, right? We talked about that. And we read from Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26 and 27. And I want to bring those verses back up to you because I want you to see something. I want you to see that you were created for stewardship. Genesis 1:26. Let us, this is God speaking, make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them, you can tell he's talking about mankind, not just males, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and he goes on, the bird of the air, and over everything. So let them have dominion. It's a stewardship. Look at this other verse, Genesis chapter 2 and verse 15. And the Lord God made man, and he put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and to keep it, to manage it. It's a stewardship. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, you shall surely eat of every tree of the garden, but of the tree of the knowledge and good and evil you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. This just hit me this week. I don't think I've ever really realized this, that the first sin of humanity was a sin of stewardship. There was a stewardship given. And God says, it's all, you can manage it all. Like, you can eat of everything. And what was the first sin? Acting like an owner. And I took this fruit. And I said, this is mine. I will define what is right and wrong to do with this fruit and with my body and with everything else. It's mine. And that's the first sin, and the second sin, and the third sin, and the sin I did this morning. Okay? Sin is a failure to see ourselves as stewards. Sin says, I'm an owner. I'm an owner. And you know why Jesus came? Who is Jesus? He's God in flesh. The second person of the Trinity comes into the world and he lives a perfect life. And he dies in my place for my sins, right? To forgive me. To restore me to God's original purpose for my life. And what's God's original purpose? I'm a steward, not an owner. That's why the cry of every Christian. How do you become a Christian? You receive Jesus as Lord and Savior. What's the word Lord mean? King, owner. He's the owner. He's the king. And now working out my Christian faith, a huge part of my Christian faith is, I'm not an owner, I'm a steward. He's the king. He's the Lord. I'm the steward. It's seeing ourselves differently in light of who we now see that God is. Let me talk to you about two realms of stewardship. One is this, the stewardship of time and talent. The stewardship of time and talent. You know, each one of us, we were born with certain talents. And I talk to some people about their talents and they say, I don't have any talents. I'm not good at much of anything. Well, sure you are. We all have talents. We all have abilities. But what this is talking about, it's actually going beyond that. He says, we've been given a gift. And here's the deal. When each person puts their faith in Jesus, they're given the Holy Spirit to dwell inside them. Okay. And look, I have a verse. 1 Corinthians 12:7, to each is given a manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. The Spirit, this is the Holy Spirit. So each Christian is given the Holy Spirit and he's given gifts by the Holy Spirit. In other words, have you ever noticed since becoming a Christian that you have abilities that are not natural abilities at your birth, but are supernatural abilities? Have you ever noticed that? Here's what I'm talking about. An ability to teach. An ability to teach and communicate God's word clearly. I would say that's not a natural ability that I possess. I would say that's a supernatural ability. If you understand anything I've said so far, it's a supernatural thing. Okay, so some of you have an ability to exhort people. You have the ability to look into somebody's life after they've shared with you and see something, some place that needs exhortation, and to bring appropriate exhortation to the place that they're in and tell them they need to trust God here. They need to not forget their identity in Christ. You have the ability to exhort them. Some of you have a mercy that's been given to you. A mercy that is not natural. You have a love for people that is not natural. You did not have it before you were a Christian. But now you have this gift of mercy and of compassion that is supernatural. Some of you have a gift of hospitality. Hospitality just means making room for other people in your life. And you have the ability to make room in your home, make room at your dinner table. You have the ability to make room on your pew for somebody to sit, to invite somebody. You have a gift of hospitality. Some of you have a gift of service, to work behind the scenes, not being brought on a stage to receive thanks, but getting joy from serving people. Some of you have the gift of evangelism, of sharing your faith. It comes hard to some people, but to you, it's not that hard. to talk to people about Jesus. Some of you have the gift of leadership. And you can see into somebody's life and you can see where they are right now. And you can also see where God wants to take them. That's a special gift. We have gifts that God gives us. And Peter mentions these two categories for those gifts. Speaking gifts and serving gifts. And whatever gift you have could fit under those two categories. You either have some sort of speaking gift, teaching, exhortation, leadership, whatever. Or you have a serving gift like hospitality, service, mercy. And what does Peter, look at your Bible just for a second. What does Peter in verse 11 say about those gifts? Whoever speaks as one who speaks oracles of God. Whoever serves in the strength that God supplies. Whoever speaks, what's the source of the speaking? God's word. It's God's word. I'm speaking God's word. What's the source of my serving? My own strength, my own natural ability? No, it's God's strength and the strength that He gives me to serve. What's the point? He's the owner. It's His. The gifts are His. The strength that He gives to do the gifts are His. The words that you have to speak, they're His. They come from His word. They're His. They're His. They're His. I think it's possible to give money to God's kingdom, but be as stingy as Ebenezer Scrooge with your time and your talents. You know, maybe even giving money for some is the easiest thing in the world, but to give themselves is hard. God gifted you, but those gifts don't belong to you. They do not belong to you. They're His. To be used for His purposes, for His kingdom, and in His way. You know, many people across America, they'll come into a church just like this, a building like this for a worship service. They're sitting there right now. And they came into the church as consumers, looking for somebody to meet their needs. They came in as consumers looking to a ministry provider, i.e. the church, to provide for their needs. But if you look in the New Testament, even in this passage, what does it say? It says that we're all providers. There's not consumers and providers. There's not professionals and rookies. We're all providers. We all have gifts. And God wants us to use those gifts to build up His church. And to help people in the valley say yes to Jesus. You have gifts. They're not yours. Let's be practical for a second. You know, our Sundays for me are not a spectator day. Sundays are not a spectator day. They're a day for service. They're a day for ministry. It's a ministry day. And here's what I want to encourage you with. When you gather here, I told you this a long time ago, we should come here on the lookout for God and leave on the lookout for others. Find somebody to at least meet. Somebody new to meet and find somebody to take out to lunch. I can remember as a college student, I had never had to look for a church before. I grew up in a church and, you know, of course, my parents found that church when I was probably 6 years old. But as a college student, I was looking for a church, and I went to a lot of churches. I would say I went to a dozen churches. And one church stands out to me even to this day, you know, 15, 16 years later, because at that church, somebody invited me to lunch. It was an older couple in the church, middle age. I thought they were old, but anyway. Middle age. And they invited me to church, invited me to lunch, and they actually paid for my meal. And it wasn't a fancy place, but it was really nice that they paid for my meal. And they asked me questions about myself. Wow, I never knew I was so interesting. Well, I wasn't interesting. They They were being nice and kind and hospitable. We have a few people in our church that do that, actually. Take other people to lunch. Why don't you be one of those people? Maybe you even have the gift of hospitality, and it just is natural for you. You should use it. Pray for someone. So many times, before I'm able to get out the doors here, I will have many people that will tell me about a need that they have. And what would be the easiest thing in the world is if I just go, I'll pray for you, I'll pray for you. Hey, I'll pray for you, I'll pray for you. But I'm not writing any of them down, right? I'm not going to pray for those people. You know what I mean? It's just not going to happen. Think about praying for them right on the spot. Using Sunday as a day for ministry, pray for them right on the spot. And that maybe seem really scary, but they don't need an eloquent prayer. They just need a, God help them. I love them. You know what they need. It doesn't have to be fancy. Pray for them right on the spot. Find a place to serve. Ask me. Come to our Next Steps class in February. Find a place to serve. Just because you see somebody serving in a role doesn't mean you're not needed. I think that's so important to say. Just because you see somebody serving in some role doesn't mean you're not needed. Just because you see somebody greeting as you come in or working with children in Kids Zone or up here playing an instrument or singing, it doesn't mean you're not needed. We do not need the same people year after year to do the same things. People need a break, don't they? People at times need reassignment to do something else for a season. And you need to serve. You need to use your gifts. Find a place to serve. There is a place for you here. I really mean that. We need you. And I can hear this objection, and it's coming up in your minds right now. Come on, y'all, give it to me. Just go ahead and give me the objection. I'll wait till later. Right? I'll wait till later. There'll be a later time that I can do that. Later is fine. And you know what God says in the book of James? I'll read it to you. Yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. Not only do your abilities belong to God, but your time belongs to God. And next Sunday, you may not have the opportunity to use the gifts that God has given you. Right? We have to take that seriously, don't we? Our time belongs to the Lord. Let me look at number two. There's only 2 points. Take heart. The stewardship of treasure. 2 realms of stewardship. The second one is the stewardship of treasure. Now, this passage is all about the stewardship of my time and my talent and my gifts. This passage does not talk about the stewardship of treasure, but I can't help myself, okay? I have to talk about the stewardship of treasure because it has meant so much in my life. Jesus talks more about possessions, more about giving financially than he says about heaven and about hell combined. All of our income, all of our assets, all of the money that is in our bank accounts, it all belongs to God, doesn't it? It's all his. He gave us the energy to build it, to earn it. It's all his. You know, in my life, personally, tithing and giving have been something that I neglected for a long time. I neglected them for a long time. And it wasn't until I actually obeyed God and just did it, just started giving, that I actually started to understand why Jesus talked about it so much. That's when I started to understand the blessing that comes through giving. And believe me, I'm still learning. I'm very much still learning. Tithing is the one subject in the Bible. I just can't get over this. Tithing is the one subject in the Bible where God said it's okay to test him. Every other time in the Bible, God says, don't test me. Don't you test me. When it comes to giving, God says, go ahead and test me. I find that's amazing. Malachi chapter 3, verse 10, he says, tithe, he says, and put me to the test to see if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing until there is no more need. I have heard that all my life. I have heard that all my life. I have heard all my life that you can't outgive God. That you don't give to God so that you will receive a blessing. But when you're faithful to give to God, you will be blessed. It's true. I've heard it all my life. But until I actually did it, I didn't get it. I didn't understand. And I was remembering, I was thinking back about 15 or 16 years ago. To a time in my life where, like, I started to get it. And I was 19 years old, and I'd gone on a mission trip an hour north of Acapulco. So it wasn't in Acapulco, okay, because that wouldn't be a mission trip, but hour north. I was there for about 2 or 3 months. I can't even remember. And it was in a little squatter village, and I have a picture. This is the night, you can't hardly see this, but this was the nicest house, and that's the way I took a picture of it, in the village. But the homes were just made of logs and sticks and fabrics and little scraps of tin for the roofs and a dirt floor. And I drove these, I remember driving these teenage boys in a VW thing. How many of you know what a VW thing is? Yeah, in a VW thing with no roof. We drove into this little village, a squatter village, and we went to see a guy named Saul. Not the Saul in the Bible, a different guy. And Saul was a new Christian, and we went to his house to do Bible study. And at Saul's house, we walked up, and there was this little thatched roof on the front of the house, and we sat in these chairs underneath that roof, and Saul's mom came out and brought us glasses, and she had a 2-liter of Coca-Cola and started pouring us full glasses of Coke, okay? And as the Bible study went on, I couldn't pay attention to what was happening. Number one, because my Spanish wasn't very good, but number two, because she was in the house, and I saw her taking that 2-liter of Coke, what was left of it, and she filled up her glass about a quarter of the way, and then she filled the rest with water, and her and their other kids shared that together. And I thought, this lady has given us her best. And I was shocked by her generosity. As we continued the study, one of the boys broke his glass on the ground. And I felt terrible. It broke my heart to see that broken glass. And God was telling me, you need to do something about that glass. You ain't going to leave with this lady's broken glass, are you? You ain't going to just hand her broken glass back, are you? I reached in my pocket, and all I had was $7. I shoved that $7 in that broken glass, and I gave it back to her and said, we're so sorry we broke your glass. The next day, Saul comes to me, and he says, we are praising God for the broken glass because we did not have enough money to make it through the week. We did not get any money until next week. And that $7 will feed us for the rest of the week. And I wrote in my journal, quote, really, I know who fed them. God fed those people, not the money and not me, just by being obedient. God can use you to be his hands and his mouthpiece. Praise God, for he is our source. I felt like that was one of the first times in seeing the joy in giving. This new Christian lady, she was generous. Just watch what's happening. This lady was generous, and she gave us all of her Coke. She didn't have money to buy food. And what did God do? He prompted me to shove $7 into a glass and give her enough money for the rest of the week. It's all God's, you see? it's all God's. He's the provider. He's the owner. He's the provider. He just tells us to give. And when we give, we get to be a part of what he's doing. And we get to see how he's orchestrating everything. You know, I went last night on the internet. If you have a pen, just write this down. GlobalRichList.com. GlobalRichList.com. And you can go on there and you can type in your annual income. And it will tell you how rich you are in comparison to the other people in the world. So what I did, I typed in my income and I went online and I found out what the median income is for Page County. Now, I know some of you don't live in Page County, but that's where we live. And it says that the median income family in Page County is among the top 0.6% of the richest people in the world. I didn't say the 1%. You hear a lot about the 1%, don't you, on the news and things? The 1%. I'm not talking about the 1%. I'm talking about the 0.6%. 0.6. That's Page County residents. It went on to tell me that it would take a day laborer in Zimbabwe 38 years to earn what we earn in 1 year. Our income would fully fund 170 doctors in Azerbaijan. After I read that, I just wondered. I said, God, why have you blessed America so much? Why have you blessed us so much? It doesn't even make sense. I don't deserve to be the cream of the cream. And it was almost like God gave me an answer just like in a moment. We are blessed like no one else in the world so that we can give like no one else in the world. Why does God bless us? So we can give. I think that's true. And I tell you, one of the things that I love about this church even before I came is this is a generous church. I was so proud. I don't know if that's the right word for it, but I was so proud that our church gave our largest offering this past Christmas to support our missionaries who are on the front lines reaching unreached people groups. I was so proud. But although we are givers, we need to continue to grow in giving, don't we? God has more to teach this, oh boy, you know. God has more to teach you about giving. Give, yes, give to your church. We are trying to hire another pastor to equip people here at Rileyville to reach people in the valley. Yes, give to missions, to those guys that are on the front lines and those gals who are on the front lines sharing with unreached people groups. Give to the Life Center. Keep giving to the Life Center. Give at Easter to our church planters that are in the sin cities that are trying to reach these almost unreached cities in North America where there are no churches like Rileyville Baptist Church there yet. Give. Send a kid to camp that's never been to camp. Give. Send a kid on a mission trip this summer that's never been on a mission trip. Give. Give. Give and see if God does not open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing. He will. He has for me time and time again. And I'm just getting started. We want to be good stewards of our money. Ask yourself this. Whatever God would invest his money in, you invest your money in that. As our worship team comes back up, I want to leave you with one last story. That I read in a book this week. The year was 1888. And Alfred Nobel sat in his chair at home with his newspaper in his lap, with his hands in his face like this. Alfred Nobel was the man that invented and produced dynamite. Okay. And at this point in his life, his brother had just died. But that's why he wasn't so disturbed. I'm sure he was disturbed for that reason. But He looked down in the paper, and this is what he read. The merchant of death is dead. And then he continued to read, and it was his obituary in the paper. And it went on to tell about Alfred Nobel, who had spent his life getting rich by helping people kill one another. Blow each other up. And he was shaken by that. I mean, as you would be shaken to see your obituary before you die in the paper. Because an editor was confused and couldn't tell you from your brother. He was so shaken by what he did was he decided to use his wealth to change his legacy. It's amazing. And he took all of his wealth, $9 million, and he used it to fund an award that would go to recognize those who had benefited humanity. And what's the award called? The Nobel Peace Prize, right? The Nobel Peace Prize. And I thought that was such an amazing story. Such an amazing thing that while he was still alive and while he still had a chance, Nobel used his wealth to change his legacy. And as I read 1 Peter, there is a much more at stake than any one man's legacy. Why don't you read the last part of this verse? In order that, this is why we give our time, talent, treasure, in everything, God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To Him belongs the glory forever. Excuse me, the glory, the dominion forever and ever. Amen. To Him belongs. You hear that word? It's mine. He's the owner. It's His. It's not about my legacy. Yes, everyone wants to leave a legacy. That is good. That is fine. But we care about God's legacy, right? And that's what we're about in giving. We want God to be lifted high. We want to see people look to the Son and believe and have their life changed forever. If you will, bow your heads with me.